So, this is what happened. Doing the TV series, and we're doing a show about the Export Credit Guarantee Department because it's the series and we couldn't do it without doing one. So we're doing the thing about the export credit, and we mentioned, hey, listen, you know, I'm Charlie Big Potato at this stage because the fucking series has started. You know, lights, camera, action, here we go, fucking look at this, bastards, export credit, here we go, Elisu, fucking look at this, wrong, chase the bloke in charge, dress as a banana, didn't look a fucker, secret report, hooray, we shall win. Show's over, into the Winnebago, coke, crack cause, that's showbiz. So... afterwards, this woman, called Estella Schmidt, phones me up, says, hello, my name's Estella Schmidt. I work with Peace in Kurdistan. We wondered, we're having a meeting about the Elisu Dam, and we wondered if you would come and talk at it. And I said, I can't. I'm very, very sorry. I'd love to, but public meetings, I've looked in my diary, and I'm watching television. just to come and talk about the Elisu... No, I can't, honestly. It says in the diary, lay on sofa. Well, we're having a meeting in the House of Lords, and we want you to come and speak in the House of Lords. Oh, I look in at the wrong page. House of Lords, you want me to speak in the House of Lords? They will be mine. Oh, yes, they fucking will. The House of Lords, man, I thought, excellent. Into the fucking belly of the... well, the catheter of the beast. I thought, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be Charlie Even Bigger Potatoes. I am going to be the comedy truth-sayer. I will walk in there and just go, you, shut the fuck up. You look stupid in a wig. You, get some more chromosomes. You, you're dead, no one's told you. And they will go, Mark, you have indeed lifted the veil from before our eyes. You are indeed a comedy truth-sayer. Hail him. Let us carry him round the room on our shoulders. Oh, it so didn't work like that. I get to the House of Lords. I'm in a real funk, right? Because... this guy who's coming over, a Kurd who's coming over, has been blocked by the Turkish authorities, and we don't know what's happened to him. So I've gone into the House of Lords, and I'm a bit fucking, you know, wired about that. But also I get a bit intimidated at those places, and so I start, you know, all the chips start appearing. And I'm like, oh, fucking like that. I'm just like a really angry breeze block. With a beer gut. And I've gone in there, and this woman said, oh, Mark, this is Lord so-and-so, Lord so-and-so, this is Mark. And I was like, hang on a minute, I didn't even catch his name. I just turned around and said, sorry, I missed your name, mate. What do I call you? What do I address you? What's your proper title? What do I call you? What do I call you? Your Lord, your Grace, your Duke, your Nobleness, your Wonderfulness, your God-given titleness. What do I call you, mate? You can call me Eric. Fuck. Fuck, I didn't expect to meet one with common sense. That's not fucking fair. This House of Lords, I want my prejudices confirmed. I should say, what do I call you? He should go, oh, Tuesday, nurse. So I've turned and I've gone, all right, Eric, with your fancy wordplay. I've got a question for you, Eric. Why aren't you using your privilege? You're a lord, you've got some power. Why aren't you going out to Turkey and finding out what's going on? Why aren't you finding out about the human rights abuses? Why aren't you coming back and telling people, hey, Eric? Why aren't you going out there? You could do that, Eric. Find out about human rights abuse, go out to Turkey. Why not? Well, I'd love to go, but I'm banned. Oh, fuck. Fuck, yes, for writing human rights reports. Oh, fuck. I wrote two of them. Fuck off. I fucking can't believe this. I'm going up the fucking wall about this. And I've turned round to him. All right, man. I've turned round. Now, I like him because most people, when they walk in front, they duck. And they're not invisible. No, I'm all right. Is the social worker present? So anyway, I've turned to Eric, and I've just gone, right, Eric, with you and your conscience, the one fucking lord with a conscience, I've gone, oh, right, I want a question here, mate. Look at the people in this room. Lords, environmentalists, human rights lawyers, hand-wringers, liberals, do-gooders, fucking about in the shallow end. What we need is a campaign that's going to fight this and win it. What we need is people to come together, say, fuck it, we can do this. We need an organised campaign. That's what we need to do. He said, you're absolutely right, Mark, and you're the person to organise it. Oh, God! How was I supposed to fucking know? This is Lord Eric Avebury, this fucking human rights icon. I didn't fucking know. I'm sitting in the corner going, oh my God, what a fucking cunt I am. What the fuck am I doing? He's wandering around the room going, Mark's organising a campaign. Here's his phone number. There So I ended up as a campaign director and founder of the Illissue Dam campaign, which is absolutely fucking brilliant, actually. Because, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because this is what is really fucking odd. I've done 16 years down the Comedy Store. It's really easy for me to summon up the emotions of hatred. Do you know what I mean? Wall-to-wall pissed accountants. Hate. But the people I work with, I love, and I think they're inspirational. I've spent a lot of time in therapy being able to say that. And it's fucking amazing, because I work with... There's one of the guys I work with, a guy called Nick Hilliard. He's genius. And he works out of a place called a Corner House Research. They go across the world, finding out all the shit, coming back and telling people. And Nick's brilliant. He's very tall, skinny, bald, posh, about 50, smokes rollies. I said to him, Nick, when did you get involved in politics? He said, oh, I was about 18, when I was teaching in Ethiopia. Oh. What was I doing when I was 18? Oh, drinking cider and masturbating. King. Because the actions are similar. And Nick is hard. He goes down to Diyarbakir, which is a Kurdish city. It's in the southeast region. It's a hard place. About a month ago, they tried to organise a peace rally for the region. The Turkish authorities banned it. 2,000 people were arrested. Two people were killed. In May this year, two guys, Mr. Deniz, Mr. Tanis, tried to set up a branch of HADEP, which is a non-violent, democratic, Kurdish political party. They were taken off the streets. They have not been seen or found. The following month, a 16-year-old boy whose father was in HADEP was picked up off the streets. His parents get a phone call. You're never going to see me alive again. They're going to kill me. 3 days later, they find the body. The following month, a guy called Mr. Oje from Salopi tries to set up a branch of HADEP. He's put into a coma by the anti-terrorist squad. It's a fucking hard place. Nick goes down there to meet up with the Kurdish community leaders to discuss how we're going to work together to fight the dam. He gets down there and he's having this, just about to start the meeting, and a note goes round. There is a secret cop in the meeting. I was like, fuck, Nick, what did you do? He said, well, what I did was, I just said, thank you ever so much for coming along. If we can just put the chairs into a circle, that would be really great, because then we can see each other and really express what we feel about the dam without any of this hierarchical structure. And I just thought, oh, no, he's turned into a drama teacher. Shoes and socks off, let's express what we feel about the dam for a movement. I am the sea. And I said, what did you do? He said, well, what I did was I just said, thank you ever so much for putting the chairs in a circle. In Britain, when we have meetings like this, we have a tradition. And I think we should do what we do in Britain here tonight. What we do is very simple, and we'll do it in a minute here. What we do is, individually in turn, we just stand up and say who we are, where we're from, and what we hope to get out of the meeting. Nick says he sees a sea of Kurdish moustaches going... and one set of eyeballs going... It gets to this guy's turn, he stands up and says, I am a concerned local resident. He goes to sit down. No, it's lovely you're here. Thank you very much. What do you feel about the dam? Ah! Whoever controls the water controls the area. Ah, the authorities say that people who say things like that are warmongers, so please be careful. You never know who's in here. How cool is that? I said to Nick, that's fucking genius. I said, did you think of it on the spur of the moment, or have you done it before? He said, no, I've done it before. I said, where? He said, Indonesia. I was doing a meeting with garment work. A similar thing happened. Note went round, blah, 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 secret. I said, in a circle. Boop, boop, boop. Intern, Britain, tradition. Gets to this chap's turn. He stands up and just says, I am an undercover police officer. And Nick said he left after about 2 minutes because everyone laughed at him. Because they're all going, but you're not undercover. So Nick's hard. Another person we work with is a guy called Karim Yildiz, who is inspirational. Karim was Amnesty International's first Kurdish prisoner of conscience. And I got to know him when we went out to Brussels, because in the Kurdish region of Turkey, Kurdistan, you're not allowed to teach the Kurdish language. If you do, it's an arrestable offence. So what the Kurds do is they have a satellite broadcasting station that runs out of an industrial estate, half an hour from Brussels, and it's great. It broadcasts in Kurdish, it broadcasts in Turkish. They do news, current affairs, they do cultural programmes, they do all sorts of stuff. They dub Charlie's Angels and Starsky and Hutch into Kurdish, which is very good. Like a Huggy Bear, excellent. And they do it on a shoestring, and they broadcast from Britain to Iran. And they're fucking cool. You get down to the Kurdish areas, there's fuck all there. There's fucking open sewers, but they all have a fucking satellite dish. And I went onto the Medja TV with Karim to talk about the dam. Afterwards, we go for a late tea in Brussels. I'm sitting there, I'm smoking at the time, cup of coffee. Karim starts to tell me his story. Was hilarious. Was hilarious when the police arrested me. Was hilarious. What do you fucking mean? Was hilarious. I quickly sort of found out whenever he said, was hilarious, I'm about to hear something really fucking bad. Was hilarious. The police arrest me, they take me to the station. They say, how many people have you killed? I said, none. They said, you have. I said, okay. They said, how many? I said, I don't know. They said, 23. I said, oh. Give us their names. Oh. So he gives them 23 names. Come the court case, the judge is sitting there, Mr. Yildiz, you are accused of murdering. Excuse me, Your Honor, very sorry to interrupt you, but be very hard for me to kill this person because he is my uncle and he died when I was 2. Well, you are accused of murdering. Excuse me, Your Honor, very sorry, but this person was my mother's cousin. She died before I was born. Be very, very hard for me to kill that person. Every one of the 23, it was impossible for him to have fucking touched. The judge goes up the fucking wall. The judge is going mad at the cops, going, what the fuck are you doing? I can't work with material like this. Who fucking did this shit? The cops are furious. I can't believe it. You torture people and they lie to you. Can you fucking believe it? The judge turns to Karim. Where are you from? Oh, he says on my passport, I am Turkish. How would you describe yourself? Oh, you know, 2 ears, 2 eyes, a nose. No. What is your ethnicity? I am a Kurd. Prison. Sitting there, more fags, more coffee. Was hilarious. There were 10 of us in the prison cell, and we decide that when the prison guards come to collect us, to take us away, to torture us, we will attack the guards and beat them up. You fucking nutter. No, with psychology, because we attack the guards get very cross. When they're cross, they cannot torture properly, you pass out quickly. Doesn't matter what they do to you. Fuck. Was hilarious. Karim gets out and gets to Britain. Was hilarious. Amnesty, they said to me, you must go to the Home Office and tell them you're a refugee and give them your passport. So I say, I'm a refugee. Here's my passport. By the way, is a false passport? They say no. I say it is. I made it myself. They say no. How do you account for the official stamps that are here in your passport? I made them with potato prints. No. So anyway, they don't believe him. They give him a leave to remain and Karim becomes a citizen. And to cut a long story short, 3 years later, the Home Office phoned him up and said, you've got a false passport, by the way. What Karim did next was remarkable. He worked as a waiter and he worked as a translator, and then he went to college to study human rights. For his MA, he did a dissertation on how Turkey could be taken to the European Court of Human Rights. What procedure they'd need, what law they'd need, what staffing they'd need, what funding they'd need, what timetable they'd need. And he hands it in to his lecturer. 3 weeks later, out of the blue, someone phones him up, says, you don't know me, but your lecturer gave me your dissertation. Do you want to do it? Because I'll fund it. 10 years later, the Kurdish Human Rights Project take Turkey to court and they fucking win big. And I said to Karim, and he genuinely does deserve that. I said to Karim, look, man, you can put your feet up. You've done enough. You can rest now. And he said, oh, Mark, you know, I know there is a lot of money to be made in this human rights business. Ask Shirley Blair. Her husband makes the word. She picks it up. So, and He said, but I cannot leave the KHRP because it is my baby.